Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook. And I'm going to be taking notes because as an entrepreneur, I would love to know how to do this, especially when my whole family's handy except myself. I'll be the one that backs the money. They can go ahead and take care of it, and I'll come up with a business deal. So I want to welcome the program celebrity Armando Montalongo, the star of A&E's Flip This House. Hey, Armando, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. So tell us specifically how you ended up on TV, because a little bit of your background and then how it ended up on TV. And in our second segment, we're going to go really into the book.
Well, the way I got on TV, and we'll, I guess, talk about where I really came from, because that's pretty dramatic story. But at the time the TV show came around, I was out there flipping about 25 properties a month. And one of my private money lenders was approached by the network saying, hey, we're doing a house flipping show. We need some characters to go and be on the show. And he says, my company's not big enough, but I know this guy who's got a big company. He's flipping about 400 houses a year. He's quite the character, and you've got to meet him. And so the production company came down. They were very, very, we were on our best behavior. We were very well behaved. It's kind of like a first date. We're going and we're showing them the houses and real estate to people business and how much we help people out. But I came to soon realize that's not what they wanted. What they wanted was the craziness. And so I remember I called the casting director and I said, so do we get the show? Because it's been about 3 or 4 weeks since the producers have been down. They said, well, Armando, we're not sure if you're gonna get the show because we're not sure you have enough fire. I said, you don't think I have enough fire? I'll show you some flill, foul, freaking filth and fire. And I called them every day. I called the production company, the executive producer, I called everyone every day until we finally got the TV show Flip This House.
So they thought you weren't gonna be exciting on TV then, right? Because you were trying
at
to
that
be,
point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you a real quick piece of the story. It's pretty funny. So I'm calling the producers every day. I'm trying to get a hold of the executive producer. I'm calling the casting agents, and nobody's giving me a direct answer. It's the TV world. You don't get direct answers. So finally I get on the phone with the executive producer, have a meeting to talk to him, and I tell my assistant ahead of time, I said, I said about 5 minutes, knock on the door, come in and tell me a huge problem we have on one of our flips. So I'm there and I'm talking with the executive producer for the first time. I've been trying to call this guy and I've been hammering the network and I've been hammering everybody about doing this TV show. And he says, so tell me a little about yourself. I said, well, my name's Armando Montalongo and we flip about 400 houses a year and real estate to people business and we really help people. All of a sudden, my assistant walks in the room. She goes, we have a huge problem with the contractor, Sergio. He's not going to go and finish doing a punch out list on this house because he hasn't had paid on the last house. And if we don't get this house sold, we have it in escrow. And I slammed the phone down, but I didn't put it on hold. And I say, you tell the foul freaking filth and Sergio. Those are the exact words I use. You tell the foul freaking Sergio that if he doesn't get his butt on that house and finish it, then he's never going to work as a contractor in this town again. And I got that phone and I slammed it on the desk 3 times. Wham, wham, wham. And I said back and I said, now where were we? And 3 days later, I got the TV show Flip This House.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, honestly, that's where if I want to ever get my reality television show, and it's specifically being an educator, entrepreneur, tutor, that I will be the strangest tutor to go into someone's house like a super nanny being 6'10", so, and a former professional wrestler. So that's something where I'm looking at that as a production company at one point in time. But again, have to have the time of all my other projects as well. So, Armando, you get on the show, and ultimately – this business, as you see on other TV shows that try to show it, you know, the Home and Garden channels and all the different ones about flipping houses, normal people, they get ticked off at each other because you can't trust contractors. You can't trust, and you can't trust people that have never been in this business before to try to flip it. So what you do is you have to be ruthless at times because the contractors aren't always doing what you want, right?
You know, what's really interesting is I used to have to be incredibly ruthless. When I first got started, because I didn't have enough experience. Now I've created a system, and through the system I'm able to stay ahead of the contractors at all times. But I can tell you stories of people used to live in my house. They used to have squatters. And one time I had a gentleman, I should say a gentleman, I had a guy who was a squatter. He used to live in this property before I ever bought it. He went to prison for a year and got foreclosed on. So he had nowhere to go when he got out of prison, so he came back to the house. And we couldn't evict him out of the house because every time we showed up, he'd leave. Every time the police would show up, he would leave. And the man was very, very smart. And we'd walk into the house during the middle of the day, he'd be gone, but he was making campfires in the middle of the living room to stay warm at night. So, but this guy was an ex-convict, and I didn't know how to get him out. So one day I showed up before 7 o'clock in the morning. I took the key to the house. I opened the door, and I had my 150-pound Rottweiler, Connor. And I went, and I opened the door, and I slapped Connor on the butt, and I yelled, "Run!" And I opened the door. And all of a sudden, I just hear, "Chook, chook, 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 chook," feet scrambling through the house. A guy yells, runs out the back door. And that ex-convict never came back and squatted in that house again.
So things like that happen then, I guess, because you find a house that was foreclosed on and people take horrible care of it, and yet it's impossible to sell unless you go ahead and really redesign it. And I'm sure you deal with a lot of times, I mean, reconstruct it, that people just don't take care of their houses, do they? Especially if they're foreclosed, yeah.
Yes, it really happens a lot. When people get foreclosed on, they think that gives them basically an open book to go over there and trash the house to be able to go over there and tear out water heaters, tear out ceiling fans, punch holes in the walls. So the houses can be a huge disaster when you go pick up a foreclosed house. Right now I just picked up what I call a $1 million flip. We have a new TV show coming out in the spring called $1 million Flip, where we're going out there and taking these big mansions and turning them around. And you have similar problems, they're just more expensive, where you're flipping houses, but everything from massive water leaks in the house to rotted roof to rats. So when people vacate a house, they don't vacate it because they want to vacate it. They don't want to be foreclosed on, and they usually take their frustrations out on the property.
Well, and you see that all the time. I would look at foreclosures when I was looking for a house. I said, no way. I'm not going to get involved in this type of a deal. So on the TV show, and I was reading some stuff up on you, Armando, because I never did see the TV show, and I'll have to go on Netflix and check it out in times. And when your news show, I can't wait for that. That'll be awesome. You'll have to tweet it out to me, and I'll make sure I promote it out to my followers as well when it happens. And have you back on the show to talk about that experience. But when we're talking about specifically enough the show, what made the show so popular, I'm sure, was that you are yourself, and things like this happen all the time where they trash it. So you might go ahead and purchase a property, but you've never walked into that property, and you are going to be different than, let's say, a newbie in flipping. You see this and say, oh my gosh, and you're on it like quickly. And I'm sure that's what it was highlighted in the show a lot of times, right?
Yes. What really made that show so popular, it was the number one, and still is to this day, rated real estate reality show. To this day, it's still the number one rated real estate reality show, and it's been airing for 7 years now. What made it so popular and what made it so famous is that I was who I was, that I went after the money on the show. If the contractor stood in the way of that, I went through the contractor, and I jumped on the houses, and I got them flipped fast, and really, I was a take no BS kind of guy. And I think that's what made the show really, really popular, because people, it resonates with people. People are like, you know, I want somebody who's not going to be a fluffer. I want somebody who's going to go show how it really is, and who's going to get them mad. And when they're mad, they get mad. And when they screw up, show their screw-ups. And that really resonated with men and women all throughout America, because, one, it's entertaining good TV, and, two, it reminds them of themselves, what they would do in a frustrating or stressful situation.
So how did you respond to the fame then, where people recognized you? Especially with so I always ask reality stars this, and then it's like right when the show airs, before you know it, it's hard to go into the grocery store, isn't it?
You know, it was interesting because I remember the first time somebody walked up to me. I was eating at a restaurant, a little Mexican restaurant with my family. Guy comes up to me and starts asking me for my autograph, and it was just the most surreal and strangest thing ever. After a while, it becomes a part of your life and become used to it. I heard Danny Bonaducci from the Partridge Family, he really said it best. He says, I wouldn't go out there and, he goes, I wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for these individuals. Well, I would have a job but I wouldn't have a TV show. And the fact that these people appreciate the hard work that went into the TV show, the fact that they allow me to go into their homes and entertain them week in and week out, makes me feel grateful, makes me feel really connected to them. So I was always – it was a weird thing because when people go, you're that guy from – you don't want to jump out and say, I'm the guy from Flip This House. But at the same time, you don't want to turn around and be rude. So it puts you in an awkward position. But I love when people come up and they recognize you from the show and they want to take pictures and they ask you all sorts of questions because it means you've made an impact on their lives and you've entertained them or taught them something in some way.
Absolutely. I mean, as a former professional wrestler, Armando, I, even though I was in the minor leagues, my fans were the most important thing. They paid the tickets, and we were on television in Arkansas and Missouri. When I would go into grocery stores, I'd be recognized, and I made sure, and bars, I made sure I talked to my fans, because otherwise they were paying me, even though I wasn't getting paid much. But
but you get it. So many, you know, I took my son, Mondo Man, to the World Series. And him and all the little kids, all the little 12-year-olds are trying to get autographs, and all these baseball players just walk by. And I thought, you freaking idiots. These little guys are the ones who pay your salary.
Exactly.
Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here at the game. So you have to go and give back to this public who gives you so much. And it's fun. And it's I was telling you about the other show that I have coming out. Once I did TV, I was kind of done, man. I was done. We did it for 3 years straight. And we did it. We had no breaks, filming, literally working 20-hour days for 3 years. And I was mentally done. And over the last 4 years, I've built other companies. But I have people coming in saying, when are you going to be back on TV? When are you going to be back on TV? And that's when I decided to go and say, okay, we're going to go and make our debut, our re-debut back on TV.
Wow. And we all know that the money is not made being on the television show. The money that's made is building your brand more. The merchandise, starting other businesses, networking with other people. You guys don't get paid a ton to do these reality shows, do you?
Yeah, on the reality shows, you really don't get paid a lot. I'll tell you what's really, really cool is on the reality show world, there's only a few people who've made real money from being a reality show who aren't already celebrities. The Kardashians made money. The girl who created the Skinny Margarita has made real wealth. And then myself. I've been able to go out there and create a $100 million empire because of the impact of the TV show and the brand it's helped me build from in the real estate world. So there's really only been three of us who've created any kind of true wealth. And for that, I'm really grateful, which is why I go back and I connect with my fans. And I'm more determined, by the way, to give them better entertainment, more craziness, and just do it on a bigger scale now.
Hey, Armando, I tell you, and I was also checking out your biography, and we might talk about this in the second segment about the book, but mention also you were involved in movies as well. You really took this stage, and I take that stage as well. I gave up so much time to go back and be a teacher and never thought I'd be back entertaining people, interviewing the greatest people in the world, and learned so much about them. So when we get back, more with Armando Montalongo of Flip This House and much, much more, and a new reality TV show, and I can't wait to find out when it airs. And we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor Neil S. Haley. Facebook, and also the Beach Lifestyle Celebrity segment. And I'm with Armando Montalongo, and I'm good at that pronunciation. A&E star of Flip This House, and now soon a new reality show. But now we find out you're Mr. Brand, Armando. You took television, and you were one of the people that made money on this. I know that Honey Boo Boo's never going to go ahead and become a millionaire from this show, so it's not going to happen. But you had an entrepreneurial brain, and you said, you know what? I can make money busting my hump flipping houses, which makes me some money, but I'm going to really capitalize on this because now I am very well known, and there's tons of people flip houses, but once I got that notoriety, other people wanted me, so you decided to write a book. And did you ever write a book before this, or is it just something?
I had never written a book before that. I wrote the book. It became a bestseller, and it really detailed two parts. The book did two things. It talked about how I flipped houses, but also how I got where I am at today. And I think this really resonates with individuals because what most people don't know that at one time before I started flipping houses, my wife at the time and my son, when he was born, almost both died on the exact same day.
Oh,
my wife had lost half the blood in her body in about 20 minutes, my son was born with a blood disorder. So I was told by each of their doctors that I need to say goodbye because they may not live past the next 24 hours. And once they were, the medical staff did a great job, and once that they were safe about 3 months later, I really spent the next 6 months at home nursing them back to health, where I lost everything I had, which wasn't very much. We were evicted out of our condominium. We were foreclosed on, and I moved into my in-law's garage and on food stamps, and I was $50,000 in debt. So the book talks about two parts, the story of how I went from living in a garage and on food stamps to getting a TV show, and then actually teaches principles of how to make money flipping houses. And so it's a two-part book, and really thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of Americans have enjoyed the book and made it a bestseller. It's pretty incredible.
So you could have been on my Author's Corner show as well, Armando. It's funny how we connected. And I was going to book you about, let's say, 6 months ago when I was in L.A., and I reached out and said, I'm doing a live TV taping / radio, and your publicist contacted me. And we've been trying that long to get you on, and I'm so glad to have you on to talk about this. But you could have been on my Author's Corner show, which I have New York Times best-selling authors. So
awesome. It
was fantastic to hear that success as well, because not many people sell books. So you can sell anything, it sounds like, Armando.
You know what I found? I found that if you tell people the truth and you're true to who you really are, sounds like that's the kind of guy you are as well. And you live with what you're passionate about, and you realize your strengths, and you stay away from your weaknesses, then the American public will go, you know what, this guy or this girl, that's the kind of person that I like or I'd like to be around, and you tend to do very well.
And that's not my hope, again, and we all are in our growth phases, and you talk about your life. So let's go specifically. You talked about the hard life you had to live, so it's a memoir in a lot of ways. You're teaching in this book, but ultimately talking about how you went from the downtrodden and having a difficult life and not have much money to being a multimillionaire. And in that process, what kept you going? What made you think that you have this entrepreneurial spirit that, you know what, I don't want to end up constantly asking from others. I can do this.
You know, there was two defining moments, one massively defining moment. The first one was I lived in the garage. I looked at my son, Monty Man, and he was 2.5 years old. And I thought, one day he's going to be seven, and he's going to know whether daddy's a financial winner or a financial loser. I'm either going to build him up or I'm going to let him down. And that's when I decided to go get into real estate and find my way of making money. The second one is happened on 9/11. And I want to make sure that I'm being very, very respectful, because so many people affected so many people's lives, which is a complete understatement. And I remember going to bed that night and thinking about the individuals in the Twin Towers who lost their lives, and I thought, well, what if I lost my life that day? And I thought, what would be the worst, the scariest part of it? And I thought about leaving my family, and I thought, my son Mondo Man would know that daddy didn't live up to his potential. But then I took it one step deeper, and I thought, if I passed that day, I would have known that I didn't live up to my potential. And that's been my driving force every day, because the scariest thing in the world to me is to not live up to my potential. So every morning when I get up, I make sure that I am reaching my potential that day, or at least doing my best to get close to it.
So in the book, it highlights how hard of a worker you are. I'm sure you don't like hearing these multimillionaires say they only work 2 hours a day, right? Because it doesn't sound like it, and do you really believe that one? You know,
no, I don't.
Because I'm going to this one, I won't even mention it, so I don't get in trouble, so someone hears it and says, why are you going then? So I won't say it, but, you know, these people say, you only need to work an hour and a half a day, and you're going to be a multimillionaire. Armando, it's hard work to do this, right?
Yeah, working in business is hard work. Being a multimillionaire is hard work. If you think you're going to work 2, 3, 4-hour, 5-hour work week and make millions of dollars, that's not what's going to happen. And anybody who's telling you that, in my opinion, is either not a multimillionaire or simply trying to sell you a bridge that you don't need to be buying. The reality of the situation is, if you want to make a lot of money, you have to educate yourself, you have to follow a system, and you have to be willing to work extremely hard.
And hard work. And tell me the hours you put in, especially when you were talking about that position, and I'm in your book, I could have 40 segments with you. I'm just amazed. I honestly thought, Armando, because I didn't watch your show, and if I would have, I was just honestly thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be another one of those, you know, those self speakers. You can flip this house in 5 days. I guarantee you could be a millionaire, and you'll be. And you're definitely not that. You're really a down to earth guy that really truly is a teacher, and that I'm very impressed by you so far. Really, just want to tell you that.
I appreciate that. You know, I think that what I love doing is I love working. I love helping people. And I'm not a guru. I'm the anti-guru. I really flip houses. Last year, I flipped 300 houses. Wow. I tell some people, you know what? You shouldn't flip houses because you're not willing to follow the system. You're not willing to work hard. And other people, I tell them, you can flip houses if you're willing to work hard, follow my system, and put in the effort that needs to be there. But what America needs right now and what we need is people who are willing to go over there and say, you know what, we're much better than what just happened to this country a couple of years ago. And we need more people to step up, people like yourself, people like the individuals who are listening to your program, who are either leading people like yourself or want to be led to make this country better. Because it's built up one thing only, and that's a vision. And that's a vision to be bigger and better.
Exactly. And you talk about hard work. How many hours were you putting in a day? Just to give people, you know, and this is one thing. I love being an entrepreneur, Armando. But, however, people don't understand me. They don't understand.
A slow day?
A slow day.
A slow day is 14 hours.
Okay.
An average day is 18. But for me to put in a 20-hour work day is not uncommon.
I've done the same thing. And yep. And when I hear people that don't do that, I know at one point they're going to fall.
You bet. Because you're only getting, if you work 8 hours, if you want to be a multimillionaire and you work 8 hours, you're just getting warmed up. It's like going to the gym. You only get warmed up in the first 10 to 15 minutes, and then you get that good feel, that good workout. It's the same thing. That first 8 hours, you're handling the necessary business, but you're getting warmed up. What about, you have to have the creativity hour. You have to have the organizational hour. You have to have the troubleshooting hour or two. There's multiple hours you have to have in your day in order to be able to accomplish everything that you need to. You have to know how to leverage money, people, processes. There's a lot to it, but I'll tell you this much. For the people who listen to the radio show go, God, that sounds like so much. That sounds like a lot of work. I have been as poor as anybody in America, and now I'm in the top 0.0001% of all income earners in the country. And I'll tell you this much. Nothing is as hard work as being broke. That is the hardest working job you'll ever have.
Because you're constantly living that paycheck after paycheck, you tell yourself, my gosh, and people will willing to do it, but then always that shoe drops, Armando.
Right.
It always
That's
does.
Right.
And it's going to drop in January. And there are people listening to this program that don't understand that. That it is going to drop in January, and you ultimately have to look at your dreams, aspirations in life. And as an entrepreneur, I say the same thing, and look to move forward. If you're working for somebody else, fine. You pick up that extra 10 hours a week. And then you see that your hard work, that you're working for yourself, and you see that you've created something. And then you say, well, when I work for somebody else, I cannot guarantee. I tell my wife this all the time. I want her to stay home. I tell her, I have doubled my income already in 2 years since I've become an entrepreneur. I guarantee in another year I can double it again. Why are you struggling? We have 4 kids, by the way, Armando, and a fifth on the way. And thank you. And say to yourself, you can't do this, because ultimately you have to have that entrepreneurial spirit, and you can choose what kind of income you have. And people in America sometimes don't understand that. Tell us, do you agree with me?
I absolutely agree with you. And here's a couple of pieces of advice for people. And I think that you and I are absolutely in line with how we feel about being an entrepreneur, because it's the greatest freedom in the world, and you control your income. And if you have somebody that has a job, I have 427 people that work for me, and they're phenomenal people. But they do one thing. They come and they do their very best every day. So if you have a job and you work for somebody, do your very best for that job. You'll feel so much more fulfilled. And then what happens when you do your very best, your entrepreneurial spirit will kick in. And you'll either move up in that company, or you'll build something on the side, or build something on your own. But this country was built on entrepreneurs who want to have more, be more, and achieve more. And it's one of the greatest gifts you could ever give yourself.
Oh, absolutely, Armando. And I told my wife all the time, I can't give this up for the world. I love doing this. This is something, it's a passion. And when I'm doing things that are passionate, there's times that it's very hard because you are picking up other stuff. You are taking on clients you really don't want to take on. You are taking on projects. But the thing is, at the end of the day, who are you answering to? I say God, no one else. And that's the all, and then your wife. But those two. Where's the check? Where's the and all that? So, Armando, I know that my listeners out there want to purchase your book and learn more about you. And also, I'm sure you have seminars and stuff that they can be involved in as well. So tell us where we can find information on you.
Well, if they want to just connect with me directly and ask me questions, they can go to Twitter/Montelongo. If they want to go to one of my live events and learn how to do it, they can go to ArmandoLive.com. We're in six different cities every week. So they can go to ArmandoLive.com and go to one of my free real estate seminars.
Do you ever come to Pittsburgh, by the way?
We absolutely come to Pittsburgh. We go to Pittsburgh about 3 to 4 times a year. I'll tell you about a student of mine real quick. His name is Daniel. We nickname him Thor because he's tall and has long blonde hair. 29 years old, and Thor has gone out there and been with our program a little over a year, and he's done over 7 figures in real estate, and he's never been in real estate before. So he lives in Pittsburgh, a great guy, comes from a really, really an amazing family, but the best part is he's a great student. So Pittsburgh is a wonderful city. Our teams are there about 4 times a year. And I'll tell you what, if I go to Pittsburgh or the next time I go to Pittsburgh, you and I will be connecting. How about that?
Absolutely. We're definitely, but you're going to be back on my show. Don't worry. I'm going to make sure I contact your publicist and say, you're coming back, especially the celebrity. I can't wait to hear about the new TV show, and I'll have to catch up on the old one, especially Netflix and all the different things. But thanks again for calling, Armando. It was a blast, and it was definitely worth the time to wait to get you on the show. So thanks for calling.
Pleasure. Thank you.
All right, take care. You're listening to Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Beach Lifestyle Show on the Total Tutor Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, SimplyG.com to join the 90-Day Challenge, and G.J. Reynolds. So I want to welcome the program. It's been a long overdue to have him back on the show. I think he's been doing a lot of his – we're doing a celebrity segment, and he's been doing a lot since then. I want to welcome back to the program – co-host, I don't know where my co-host has been for a while, G.J. Reynolds. G.J., how are you?
Doing fantastic, Neil, and I've just been living the beach lifestyle, so that's what we teach, so I might as well be living it if I'm going to teach it, right?
Exactly. When you're talking about the summer, that's the time that you pretty much can take certain breaks. Now we're ready for the school year, and when our listeners are back to school, and great discussion, and I understand we have a fantastic guest today. Can you introduce her, G.J.?
Well, since we're talking beach lifestyle, we might as well get to you. What do you think of when you're beach, you're hanging out at the beach, and you also think of swimming? So today we had an Olympian swimmer, and she was part of the 2012 U.S. Olympic team. She specializes in the 100-meter freestyle. She's won 15 gold, silver, and bronze medals in international competition, so she's definitely proven, and she's done a great job representing our country, and now she's representing a swimming calendar, which we're going to talk a little more about. Please welcome to the show, Kate Ziegler. How are you doing, Kate?
I am great. Thanks so much for having me on today, guys.
Oh, we're excited to talk to you, and specifically enough to see, specifically to be part of that 2012 Olympic team must have been an unbelievable honor, wasn't it, Kate?
Oh, it's such an honor. I'm always proud to represent my country, especially at the biggest game sporting event in the world. It was the greatest honor.
All right, so why the calendar? I mean, after the season's over, you know, you're kind of already probably gearing up for 2014 and then 2016. Why the calendar?
You know what? The calendar is really about giving back to the sport. The idea of the calendar was started by Beth Greentwittle and Eric Knight and Andrew Day. They came up with this concept of a way to grow the sport by getting the word about swimming out to people who may never hear about it, may never hear the stories of the athletes besides just a couple featured at the Olympics every 4 years, to help athletes with funding so that, you know, swimming is not like basketball or football where there's tons and tons of money. You know, we're trying to fund our training and our travels to compete at international competitions, and then to really give back and inspire the youth of the sport. And so that's the idea behind the calendar, and that's why we're a part of it and why I'm a part of it.
Quite interesting. So, Gigi, go ahead.
So what specific organization is it, and where can they find information about the calendar and the organization?
Yes, to all your listeners, if you'd like to go to www.swimmercalendar.com, you can order the calendar, and the calendar is on sale for $20.16. And it was designed by Day and Night Productions. And also, we collaborated with Innova Donor Services, blood donating, to spread the word about the importance of donating blood. So that is kind of the theme of this calendar also is giving blood, the blood, sweat, and tears that go into training for the Olympic Games.
So tell us a little bit about the shoot. It was a little different than your normal shoot, I guess, for just your pictures for the swimmer. It's a different type of thing, isn't it, the calendar?
It is a different type. You know, so many calendars that are out there for swimming are about just the swimmers themselves in cap and goggles, no makeup, just the kind of raw side of training in the sport. But what we wanted to do in this calendar is look at the kind of the other side of the athlete. What goes into training? Who are these athletes once they step outside of the pool? You know, what do we like to do? One of my shots was done in a Pilates studio and a yoga studio, and that's something that I'm really passionate about, is about health and balance and kind of a holistic approach to wellness. And so that's what we did in mine. Another one is we have Joe Pascal, who is an MMA fighter, and so his shots are both in the pool and in a gym, showcasing his kind of the two sides of him as an athlete. So the shoot was so much fun to do, to get a little glamorous, to get some our hair and makeup done, to step outside of the normal cap and goggles and a swimsuit that you see us in, you know, at the Olympic Games, and to see the different sides of the athletes.
Well, absolutely, GJ, and it's very interesting when Kate's talking about this, about having those types of shoots. They're pretty grueling, aren't they, GJ, when you get those professional photos done as well, as you were talking about today you were doing?
Well, I actually did have one side to relate. Obviously, it's not on the same scale as yours, probably, with me and my wife, and so I definitely had a lot of smiling, so I feel like the Joker with the permanent smile. So, anyway, I've been on your website, you know, swimmercalendar.com, mm-hmm. as Kate said earlier, and I've gone through there, and one of the things I like about it you touched upon is, you know, you get a little backstory about, you know, and you find a little bit more about each athlete, you know, in addition to what they, you know, perform in the sport. So I think that's a great call on y'all's part, and, you know, it gives a little more of the humanistic side. So what's the ultimate goal for the calendar? And then also, what's the ultimate goal for you, you know, from this day forward?
Well, for the calendar, as you'll see if you go on to swimmercalendar.com, it is about growing the sport, helping the athletes, and giving back. And so our hope is that people who maybe have never heard about or read about swimmers, like you said, there are the in-depth profiles of each of the athletes featured in the 12 months. You know, maybe they'll learn a little bit about the athletes, follow swimming in the future. Hopefully young athletes, young swimmers, and athletes of all sports are inspired by the stories and are inspired to go reach for their dreams. And then hopefully to get some added funding for the athletes training for the next Olympic Games and future international competitions. As for me personally, I'm taking a break from swimming currently to pursue other ventures and to work on giving back to the sport, because after all, when I leave the sport, I don't want to just be remembered for the medals I've won and the records I've broken. I'd really like to leave an impression on kids, to inspire them and to teach them lessons that hopefully will help them to reach their dreams. So I leave the option open of going to the 2016 Games, but for now I'm focusing more on getting that, still staying involved in the sport, but in a different capacity.
Are you thinking of being involved in the foundation, Kate, by doing working with all these kids that keep the sport alive?
Yes, I'm very interested in that. And just giving back in any way I can. I actually just had the honor of running a swim camp in on a military base for some athletes, some swimmers in Spain. So, you know, all these different opportunities, any way I can, in any part of the world I can, that I can get back and inspire the kids and connect with them is really exciting for me.
Part of GJ's Mission G is absolutely helping children, especially fight childhood obesity, GJ. And you're really on the forefront to looking at specifically ways. So you can explain a little bit to Kate, and maybe Kate could be part of helping out what you're doing at Mission G.
Well, several things that we do is, one is obviously focus on, you know, children being healthier, and obviously obesity is becoming a major epidemic, and a lot of it is, you know, obviously poor diet and then, you know, poor exercise. And, you know, I grew up, you know, we had mandatory PE every day, and now they have it a couple times a week, and some schools I find out don't even have it at all. So it's you know, pretty sad. And I can see how where kids are not as exposed to some sports unless their parents are, you know, having them in, be involved. And so there's definitely a void that's going on. So, you know, that's part of what we're focused on. And then we're focused on feeding kids in a healthy standpoint. We got great products. And so that's part of what the Mission G, MissionG.org Foundation is all about. And, you know, so you're doing a great thing. And, you know, one thing that's real common to a lot of the athletes and celebrities that we have on is, you know, they've been given a platform. They have excelled at the platform at the highest levels. And then they realize, hey, you know, here's how I got here. Here's my platform. I'm able to give back. And obviously you're doing that. And, you know, so I applaud you for doing that and being passionate about helping others. And that's really, you know, part of what this show is, helping people achieve more and be more. And, you know, you're living it and you're assisting others to do it. So congratulations.
Thank you. And I applaud you, too, on your mission and your foundation. It sounds like an incredible organization that you have going. And I'd love to find out more because, just like you said, you know, helping kids fight childhood obesity, become more active, be healthier, and learn lessons that they can take on, carry with them for the rest of their lives are so important. And yes, swimming is the vehicle through which I hope to do much, much greater things than just, you know, I had my athletic success, which I'm so proud of, but I hope to give even more back to not just swimmers, but to athletes, to kids, to people of all ages.
So, Kate, what is your ultimate goal in your career now? If once swimming, when you do finally retire from swimming, what will be life after swimming? What do you see? What do you picture?
To be honest with you, the picture is not clear yet. However, I've considered getting my PhD in psychology. I know for a fact, though, that whatever it is, as I've already said, it's going to be involving giving back. I'm very passionate about health, nutrition, having a healthy, holistic approach to life in mind, body, spirit, and finding that way to give back to people and to help others will be a part of whatever I do in the future.
Well, fantastic. And GJ has this million-dollar question he asks all the time. What's the question, G?
Well, so what's your 90-day challenge? So, you know, our focus is typically on, you know, 90-day health challenge. And, you know, but we ask every guest, you know, what's your 90-day challenge? What would you like to accomplish over the next 90 days? And where can, and how can our listeners, you know, help you accomplish that?
In the next 90 days, what would I like to do? Well, in the next 90 days, since stopping swimming, I have started, I still swim some, but I am building up to running and considering doing a half marathon. So in the next 90 days, I suppose, building up to that, not running a half marathon, but, you know, building up and looking for new ways to stay active and to take a new approach to health. So any ideas that you have for new ways to exercise and to build up to running a half marathon, that could in the next 90 days, that would be great.
Well, one thing that comes to mind for me is you could be like that lady that swam to Cuba.
Oh, dear. Cheyenne Amaya. Yeah, I think that's I'll leave that to her.
That's what I said. I said, man, God bless her. Just shows anything's possible. Yeah. I always set a big goal. So, you know, you're on track and you're doing a great job. And yeah, let's definitely stay in touch. And I know you're going in the right direction for you. And we would love to be more involved in how we can help you. And we'll definitely get our community involved and our Thank listeners you. Involved. And so you're Thank welcome. You.
And I will say one other goal I would say in the next 90 days is to as many of your listeners as possible who are interested in supporting swimming, supporting these athletes, go to swimmercalendar.com and check that out. And let's see how many people we can get signing up and ordering calendars.
Well, we're going to have more of the athletes from the calendar on the show. So it was great to start with you, Kate, and best of luck in all your career. And look forward to touching base to see how we can help each other out. So thanks again for calling, Kate.
Absolutely. Thank you for the honor. Have a great day.
All right. Take care. You're listening to the Total Tutors Show Beach Lifestyle Celebrity Segment, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information, Twitter, Total Tutor Neil S. Haley, Facebook, and very, very interesting place on location. We're talking to Kat Kramer tonight. So, Kat, it's always interesting when we have our interviews, but where are you today? You're not at your office, and I'm excited to talk to you.
No, I'm on a studio lot. I'm at the famous Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank, and it's the 5th annual Burbank International Film Festival. I'm at the opening night, and a friend of mine, Cass Warner Sperling, who screened her fabulous film Hopper in his own words for me for my series a couple months ago. Actually, it was last year, but her movie, which is already very famous, the documentary The Brothers Warner, which I've seen since the beginning, it's the opening night film. And it's also some anniversaries of Warner Brothers. So it's very exciting to be here celebrating that. I'm just really excited to talk to you from the opening night.
Well, absolutely. And there's a lot of going on, as every month we talk about, Kat. So what's new with you?
Exciting. I have to announce that, this is my father's centennial during this time. And Sharon Stone is going to be receiving on September 18th the inaugural Stanley Kramer Social Artist Award from the Catalina Film Festival. And that's actually the opening night. And this is the first time this has ever been done. They have a lot of awards, and it's the first one established in his honor at Catalina Film Festival, which is really dear to our heart because Blessed to Be Some Children was filmed, quite a bit of the film was filmed there on location. And Sharon is a big activist and also a legendary star in her own right. So she's really going to be a big special treat to be receiving this award. We're very proud of her and honored that she's receiving the first one. You can find all the information. I think I'm announcing it to you before it even goes out to everybody else. I think you have the exclusive on this.
Oh, I love hearing
that.
But
it'll hit the news tomorrow, so if it isn't already out there. But, yeah, that's the first one. There's other awards, but this is the first one that we're establishing. And the festival, you can check it out, www.catalinafilm.org, and the festival runs until the 22nd. So that's one of the big new wonderful things that are happening with the Stanley Kramer Centennial. You can also go to our website, stanleykramer100.com, for, a lot of upcoming things. He's going to be honored at different festivals and different places coming up until the end of the year and possibly through next year. But this is the one on Catalina Island that we've been really looking forward to. So I'm happy to be able to share with you the announcement.
And for Sharon to be the first person to win this award, it's so awesome for you, isn't it? To know
it's really great. And she said so many wonderful things about my father. You know, and I'd like you all to check that out and see what she has to say, because she has a documentary that she's involved with, that she's in and that she's part of. I believe she made it, called Femme. It's about women healing the planet, and it's about women's issues. It features a lot of prominent women, including her. So I think she's also, you know, happy to accept this award to kind of spotlight that documentary, but also all of her activism.
Definitely.
And, you know, we all know all the tremendous work she's done for AMFAR, for AIDS. That's one of her leading causes. So I'm just really happy this is going to be happening on September 18th.
Wow. So it's not far away at all. So I'm glad we're talking.
No, it's just in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm glad we're talking now before all this occurs, because it seems like you're going to be very difficult to get a hold of in September. A lot more going on, right?
Well, also very, very exciting, which just was announced. I think it's been officially announced. And it just, I was very happy to be able to make this happen. But Teach Your Children Well is going to be screening at the Cinema Diverse Palm Springs Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. Just a few days after Sharon's award, it's going to be screening on Sunday morning at 11:30 at September 22nd. That happens to be the same day as the Emmys. But this is a really hot festival, and you know Teach Your Children Well just came up from a successful screening at Outfest, which I was involved with in the panel and all that. And now a lot of the films from that festival are going to be screening at this one, but this just was announced. It just got selected. You know, we're doing the Stanley Kramer Film Festival in Palm Springs in November, and some of the same organizers of my, that's like the first Stanley Kramer Film Festival I think ever, is going to be in Palm Springs. And it's going to be annual, which is really exciting. And details about that are about to be announced. There's also going to be a couple of awards given out. That's mid-November, and we're about to announce the official dates. But this is going to be, you know, kind of a precursor to that, because I'm so behind the film. And a lot of Michael Green, who's the founder of Cinema Diverse, is also involved with the Stanley Kramer Film Festival. And so I don't want to give out too much information yet till we make the official announcement, but it's very exciting news. And this is a really prominent festival in Palm Springs, the first one for teachers in the world to be getting a lot of exposure. And also it opens it up for the school district there and people from the school districts around Palm Springs and Palm Desert will be attending the screening.
That's great.
So I'm just really excited.
And is that your hope then, to be able to talk to the schools after this, after they see the screening?
Yes. In fact, there's some schools right now that are looking at Teach Your Children Well this week as we speak, and planning some things for October, because that's Anti-Bullying Prevention Month worldwide. And I'd like to do something locally in some school in L.A., too, with the film. So, no, it's really taking shape now with the schools, and we're going to have a big screening, a couple of them, for the parents and the teachers as well as the students. So I'm just really happy that all the hard work for the film is paying off. You know, I've been very diligently working towards making this the leading film in schools, particularly for the bullying issue, especially LGBT bullying. So, yeah, it's definitely the Outfest screen really helped put it on the map further for this. Really, it's going to be great.
And what's fantastic, Kat, is when you're going out for celebrating your father's centennial, you're at all the film festivals. You're able to now get out and network and really highlight your great films that you've created. So it's a kind of a win-win opportunity for you traveling all over the country, that you can get films like Teach Your Children Well in there and some of the other ones that you've done out there for more people to see. And that could just lead it to more and more activism in certain aspects, because a lot of all of your films, for our listeners that have not heard our interviews, our monthly interviews, are really about really setting up a cause, a call to action. That's what you're looking at in your filmmaking.
Absolutely. So, and also, you know, the elephant issue is out there. There's going to be an international march for elephants on October 4th. I know it's already going to be in San Francisco, L.A., I don't want to speak for the other cities, but, you know, that's something that's happening, too, and there will be something in L.A., and hopefully we'll be able to talk about that, you know, prior to October 4th.
Wow.
So, but, yeah, it's great that's happening.
Everything seems like it's coming into place, and we all know that you have other things going on as well. And how are you able to do all that? So you have the festivals.
I don't know, because I'm working on a film project and my one-woman show and a lot of other things in the works. And another screening for Kat Kramer's films that changed the world. And the screening of Fallout that we're having on November 13th. You know, that's a documentary that's so timely about my father's film, On the Beach, The Making of On the Beach, based on Neville Shute's book. And the amazing Dr. Helen Caldicott is interviewed in that, as well as my mother. And we're lucky that Helen Caldicott will be joining us on November 13th for the screening. And I'll have those details closer to time. But it's really going to be an important film, and it's a brand new documentary. In fact, I think it's the LA screening. So I'm really looking forward to that as well.
Can you describe...
And that's right before the Palm Springs Film Festival, the Stanley Kramer Festival.
Can you describe a little bit about Fallout for us, for our listeners?
Well, you know, it's very timely now, but there's many interview subjects in it. You just have to see it. It's really about how Neville Shute made the definitive book, you know, on nuclear holocaust, and how my father brought that book to the screen and the battles that they had, as so many times the authors of books and screenplays, they don't see eye to eye with the filmmakers on their vision. So it's a lot about that, and just about how the book broke ground and how Dr. Helen Caldicott became who she is because of On the Beach, and how the film really set her on her course. And it's probably going to be released in theaters. I know it's won several awards in Australia. It's an Australian film made by Lawrence Johnson, who's an Australian filmmaker. And then, you know, we go to Kentucky for the Louisville Film Festival, and they're honoring my father, too, with a special screening of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World on October 13th. And I'm going to be singing something very special. There is a surprise, and you'll have to wait and see what that is. And I just on Saturday night, I got back from Palm Springs, and I went as a surprise to announce another screening of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World at the Aero Theater in Santa Monica. You know, this is the 50th anniversary of that film.
Right.
And that was a sold-out crowd. There was a lot of kids there and people that had never seen the film, mixed with fans and veterans who had seen the film many, many times, and advocates for It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, which is a leading fan group. They had a lot of members there. So that was really a big success. And, you know, we're going to have a big screening of that official 50th anniversary screening on October 27th at the Cinerama Dome. And my father built the dome specifically for that film. So this is just a really big year for that film, and for it's amazing. It's centennial, the 100-year anniversary of his birth, and the 50th anniversary of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World would be the same year. So we have a lot of activities just, you know, taking up for those two milestones.
Well, absolutely, Kat, and it's something that just amazing situations to bring back that film for people to see that never saw it, especially kids in ways to finally see this, so that your father's work continues to build his legacy, so that younger people are seeing it, and new people that have never seen the films. So it just continues that conversation.
Absolutely. And then, you know, we have the rest of the Billy Wilder Theater screenings, Champion, the Stanley Kramer Centennial, September 20th, 21st, 27th, and ending on his birthday, September 29th, with High Noon. And if you check the website, StanleyKramer100.com, you'll see the lineup for that as well, with a special guest who are going to be announcing the film. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, that was the kickoff of it, but we're not done with that. There's going to be other screenings announced and special events surrounding the centennial later this year. We just haven't announced it yet.
Okay, when we get back, we're going to talk more with Kat Kramer, more of what's going on with her career and all the fun things. I want to go into the one-woman show some to hear what's going on.
That's
going to
be all next year, a big part of it.
So kind of your preparation, what's going on there, more about your father's centennial, and other projects coming up, because I know you have more things going on. You're listening to Toll Education.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to Toll Education Celebrity Show on the Toll Education Network, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, and I'm with Kat Kramer, and we're talking about all the exciting things happening with you. And on the second segment, let's talk more about your one-woman show. Tell us about some of the prep and where it's going now.
Yeah, for sure. Right now or?
Exactly. Some of the prep you've been working on?
Well, I'm trying to keep it under wraps, you know, because the whole show is a parody of a classic. When it's unveiled, what the theme is and how it's a parody, I think it'll hopefully enchant people. But I can't really go into details yet, except that there's characters in the show I've created, and I probably will debut some of those characters on their own before I launch the show, and I'm going to be doing my own version of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, the song, for the 50th anniversary at different locations, not only in Kentucky, but around L.A., and, you know, different in Palm Springs, and more on Bless the Beast and Children getting out there, too, as a single with the proceeds going to PAWS. And as you know, Lily Tomlin is nominated for an Emmy at the Creative Arts Emmys coming up in a couple of weeks for outstanding narration for her documentary, An Apology to Elephants. So it's really, I'm really keeping my fingers crossed for that. And, you know, I'm really so focused still on making sure that the song reaches the public and that they know more about PAWS and you know, the plight of the elephants, and we don't forget about that.
So we're go ahead, sorry.
I'm really keeping the one-woman show under wraps and as a special secret until it's unveiled. So I'll give you little tidbits of it, but I can't give away the whole thing at this point.
No, it's pretty much just kind of for our audience to know how much preparation's involved to get ready for this.
A lot. I'm workshopping it, you know, and I'm going to be probably taking it out of town before I launch it here. Got to work the kinks out first. So it's a real challenge that I'm trying to pull off. It's different than anything I've ever done. I've never followed the path, but this will be a big, huge challenge. And it's a show with a theme. It's not just a nightclub act. You know, it's actually more like a theater piece.
Well, absolutely.
But it can be in cabarets and nightclubs and stages and venues. It works for all of it. But it's primarily a theatrical presentation.
Very interesting. So when I'm talking about prep, are you doing a lot of practicing at home? You're rehearsing on your own?
Yeah, I'm selecting all the songs. And, you know, I am working with my collaborator, Shelley Goldstein, on it. And she's brilliant at the parodies and also bringing my vision to life. But I'm just hope that everybody enjoys it and it enlightens everybody. It's my main wish for it. Yeah.
And also, Kat, when you're practicing all that, so we're looking at all that in the new year. That's when your one-woman show will start to debut, correct?
Yes. I've had offers to do it before that, but it's more than likely going to be the early part of next year and certainly summer through the fall and winter of next year.
And I'm sure you're glad you did it. You're doing it later because of all the work with your father before the new year. There's so much going
on. Yeah, I want to tour with it. You know, I'd even like to go to London and Europe and around the United States. And, you know, that's my goal. And then we'll see what I have other ideas for it, but I want to launch it first.
So any other projects involving yourself as well that you're doing right now?
Yes, some film projects I'm keeping under wraps. You know, that haven't been announced yet.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Anything else going on that you'd like to announce?
Yeah, I still want to have Evening with the Trailblazer, and that will be next year as soon as I find out when the date is. That will be happening. And some PSAs and things I'm doing as well for different different social issues and with the series and all.
All right.
Some promos.
And so everything else, I have to wait till next month to find out, sounds like, right?
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So, Kat, where can our listeners find out more information on you and learn more about you?
KatherineKramer.com, Kat Kramer's Films That Changed the World.com, and my four Facebook pages, Katherine Kramer, Kat Kramer, the Katherine Kramer Fan Group, and Kat Kramer's Films That Changed the World. And on Twitter is Katherine Kramer. And just Google me, and you'll see a lot of content.